If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Career Corner
on Kaya Biz.
It's 4 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya959. If you've just joined us, where have you been? You've just missed out on a phenomenal hour of business content that we've given you, but you are in luck. Not only can you listen back to our rewinds online at kaya959.co.za, but you're also going to hear some phenomenal conversations we're going to have now in the second hour of the show. And this one speaks to us, you and I. It's my first day back. It's been exciting to see and speak and catch up with colleagues. And in some of our conversations in passing, I've just joked about January, that this month that feels like it has 50 days is here. And for many of us, when we get back to work, you might find yourself taking strain because we've overcommitted in terms of financial responsibilities. And sometimes when we are in need, we happen to offer help or ask for help. But what does that mean within the context of the work environment where you and your colleagues either decide to share loans with colleagues, open up a stock file, become a loan shark, or even side hustles in the workplace to make extra money? What are the legal implications that you need to be mindful of, and what are the consequences that you also need to bear in mind? This is a conversation that we're going to have for the next 20 minutes, and I want you to be a part of this because I know we've all got stories that actually speak to this dynamic. Selling goods at work, being a loan shark at work, maybe even requesting money from a colleague at work and opening up stock files at work. What are the consequences around law says around these dynamics? You're listening to Kaya Biz, and we want you to share your voice notes with us. 063-688-0959. Share your voice notes, share your experiences, and maybe even your questions. We're going to answer all of them for you now by taking a look at key themes we need to be mindful of in our careers. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Careers Corner
on Kaya Biz.
Yep, it's Careers Corner, and we have one of our favorite legal minds joining us here on the show tonight. It is such a pleasure. So for a lot of you, just to give you context, when you work in radio, you don't always see the guests that you speak to. But when you have the pleasure to have them with you in studio, it changes the energy, it changes the conversation, the flow. And most importantly, I get to interact and physically see the people that I speak to so often. And I build a relationship and partnership with. But now it's even more tangible in person. So I'm excited to mention that our guest tonight, Senior Employee Relations Specialist Kagiso Lebete, joins us in studio. Such a pleasure to have you, sir.
Good evening, Google. Good evening to your listeners, and thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be in studio.
I'm glad. I hope we treated you well. If not, we'll do better.
No, top.
I'm
top,
glad.
Top class.
I want to say Slimo Sesecha. You know, that's the office.
Yeah, no. Barunga Homusha.
Yeah. Rekene hanke, rekene rejele, humonate. Now it's back to reality. And I think this is also for many of us where we need a refresher about the environment when it comes to the roles, responsibilities, and functions that we need to perform. Outside of just making sure that I do my job on a day-to-day basis, this is an interesting time of the year where many people might find themselves fairly strained, right? And money, the topical issue. I'm assuming talking about money at work isn't a problem, but it depends how we engage on it. Are there hard and fast rules from a labor law perspective that have restrictions in this regard?
Typically nothing in black and white that says you can or you cannot. There are specific confidentiality requirements that says to the extent that you do not interfere or to the extent that you not disrupt the operations of the organization, some information should rather be kept confidential. And that, like salaries and remunerations.
Really?
And how do we handle the conversation around that? Because it has potential to upset the apple cart, if I can put it that way.
Got you.
Because there's different reasons as to why people would, for example, earn maybe slightly more, slightly less. The objectivity aspect just comes into play. And how do we handle such conversations? So it's right to be handled with a bit more caution rather than just having a conversation in the corridors, in the canteen, wherever the case may be, because it does open up a bit of risk.
I get you. And this is also something that's really pertinent because so often we talk about gender pay parity or people earning the same when they're in certain levels or positions within an organization. But it goes beyond just saying I earn 5 rand an hour in the passageway. There are nuances that we need to be mindful of. Outside of that 5 rand an hour, sometimes we find ourselves falling short and we decide, you know what, I actually want to push a side hustle. I'm selling this. I mean, we have colleagues and many other places do, you know, where there's certain things that might be sold, which are needed in the building. And colleagues actually support you because not only do they need what it is you're selling, but they're also happy to support you. So side hustles at the workplace. Is this allowed?
Side hustles are not prohibited in the workplace.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's all right. There's a technicality to this answer. Let's hear it.
Simply because an employer cannot unreasonably prevent an employee from supplementing their income.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the proviso is, and yet again, to what extent is this side hustle impacting your job, your deliverables, your relationships with your fellow colleagues? How does it impact your performance? And what does it say about the reputation of the organization? I mean, we've got a lot of individuals who are selling jewelry. They sell, they bake scones.
Yeah.
They sell a myriad of different things within the organization. And
mm-hmm.
some people have their side hustles over the weekend. They do catering, decor, they plan parties, they do whatever it is. To the extent that it does not interfere with your day-to-day work, to the extent that you're not abusing the employer's resources
mm-hmm.
for the furtherance of your side hustle, then it would be unreasonable to try and prevent that, because now you are then encroaching on my rights as an employee to supplement my income. And it's not impacting your job or your company or your operations, Mr. Employer.
Even if I'm doing it within my working hours as
yes.
I'm occupying time and space in the building.
Yes, even if it is within working hours. And that's why it's important that an employer needs to take a stance. Am I going to allow
okay.
the private business, private sales within working hours at work on working time? Or am I completely going to prohibit it and say, listen, for purpose of operational requirements, we cannot allow the furtherance of private businesses
mm-hmm.
during working hours on company premises? Now, that becomes a blanket rule for everybody, from the lowest to the CEO. Then that is not regarded as unfair, because a legal or justification based on operational requirements can always be made.
Got you.
But it can be seen as a bit excessive.
Got you.
At times.
And I would agree, especially given the socioeconomic times we live in South Africa, where the top C executive versus, you know, the entry level employee, their payments and their salaries are so vast. I'm keen to understand, do I need to disclose, or can it just be known ukukuteng sama kuinga between 8 and 9, or whoever gets them fresh off the bat? And then, you know, is there a sensitivity towards how the employer finds out, or if they know, or sensitivities around disclosure?
So my advice would be to disclose the fact that, listen, I am carrying on this private business. It is no impact on my job or my performance or my deliverables. However, I am selling X, or I am selling amagwinya, I'm selling jewelry, or I run a whatever service that I do outside of working hours, or even if it is at work. Because the Labour Appeal Court has come up with a ruling that, for example, the issue of moonlighting,
mm-hmm.
you need to have a specific provision that says you are not allowed to take on any form of secondary employment, either during or after working hours, because it may impact the reputation of the business. It could impact your performance. And once they've communicated such prohibition, it becomes difficult for you to then carry on such a business. But I would advise that an employee would disclose to their direct line manager that you also do away with any potential risk of conflict of interest.
Yes.
Because you may find yourself in a situation where you could be regarded as competing with the employer if you do find yourself in a similar space.
100%. If you've just joined us, we are in conversation with Kagiso Lebede. He joins us in studio tonight as a senior employee relations specialist, and we're talking about critical themes. It's January, and typically this is where money is front and center for many of us as South Africans. You might be fortunate enough to be employed, but you dabble into making sure that you're able to augment your income, and as a result you have a side hustle. But what happens if you decide to participate in a stock fell with your colleagues, or maybe even decide, you know what, ngoba mina izinto zam ziyarana, I'm going to be a loan shark and actually lend money out to my colleagues? These are some of the questions that we're going to shift into now and get some perspective. But we want to hear your experiences. Are you someone who has a side hustle in your workplace? Are you someone who has openly lent money to your colleagues and peers? And what's the basis of that? Is it a quiet conversation, or is it known that you're someone who does offer loans to your peers and colleagues? And maybe even stock fells. Have you got a stock fell with your colleagues? How have you managed these? And you need to also understand the rules and regulations around this in the workplace. 0636880959 is where you can share your voice notes into. Get them in quickly, because we do want to hear some of your experiences. So again, 0636880959. Kagiso, we touched on the side hustle aspect of things, but what I'm keen to talk about, maybe on the safer side, is stock fells. I have been in a workplace where I was actually part of a stock fell, and then we used to change every month and someone would get some money. And that was just at a time where we were just trying to make sure that, hey, you have some access to cash at some point when you might need it. And it's typically often well accepted. It's been discussed openly between colleagues and there were rules, engagements, and compliance around it. But is it allowed?
Stock fell, yes. Stock fells are by way of nature, just something where employees come together, pool resources and or money, and would then distribute said money at agreed upon intervals. That typically does not offer any challenges in the workplace environment. The issue comes in and where we would look at the difference between a stock fell and a money lending individual, a loan shark, Mashonisa. And that's where now the issue comes in, because every employer needs to look at, how do I maintain a healthy and safe workplace environment? How do I ensure that workplace relationships between colleagues remain cordial and professional? And also then there's the legal aspect, because you bring in FASE, you bring in FICA, you bring in the National Credit Act, mm-hmm. and you're then entering into a terrain where the conduct could be criminal in nature. Where now, in as much as maybe the employer may not be able to take disciplinary action, but the state, through whichever laws it has promulgated, may say, listen, you've been carrying out this illegal loan sharking business and we're going to fine you anything up to 100,000 rand.
Let's take two steps back there, because this is where Kuku would then come in as an employee and say, but hold on, I'm doing my colleagues a favor here. Kagiso's struggling. Njabulo has kids to take to school. Mudibedi's trying to get married. So they all come to me because, hey, my pockets might, you know, I'm able to help them out. So how then do we manage, I guess, the defense, which would be, I'm not a financial services institution, I'm helping out a colleague and a friend, with the promise and expectation that they will pay me back?
If the promise and expectation is to be paid back without interest and without a penalty if there is a deferred payment or a late payment, then by all means, you can borrow the whole of Kaya House money.
I hear you. But then the problem comes in when I say I'm taking your laptop.
When you charge interest and when you start charging, accruing interest on the loan, you're then stepping into the realm of the National Credit Act. And that is very specific in terms of what you need to comply with from a legislative perspective to be regarded as a registered credit provider. And now that's when the issue comes in. Like, there was this famous case of Mr. Kaweng and the National Biodiversity Institute, where they alleged that they were a stock fell, but it was common cause that they were carrying out a money lending business.
Mm-hmm.
And now the issue with this was that they were now intimidating employees that were not paying back. They were threatening employees in the workplace. Employees were taking time off work because they feared that the members of first a Mr. Zola, who then ratted out Mr. Kaweng.
Wow.
And they were both dismissed for the conduct which is detrimental to the maintenance of good order in the workplace, as well as a breach of the fiduciary duty to the employer. Because now, by virtue of this money lending practice, they had in the workplace that was unsafe, threatening behavior, intimidation, and from a misconduct perspective, the employer was able to take disciplinary action. And with the National Biodiversity Institute, because they are a state organization, there was an inference that this conduct brings the Biodiversity Institute into disrepute. So not many employers may be able to get away with a justification that the conduct brings it into disrepute if you can't link the conduct to your image as an employer.
Got you.
But the conduct or the repercussions of lending money becomes a problem when employees are now can't come to work because they owe money and they can't pay.
It makes sense. You know, it may be like me intimidating one of my colleagues to say, hold on, you can't do the show with me, or I scare them out of the studio. And that then impacts the operational activity of delivering the work we need to participate in. This is so important, and I think so many of us actually take it for granted. And if we're being honest, the truth is, many of these themes do happen silently in many organizations. And by the time it gets disclosed, there's obviously a level of disgruntlement. I'm looking for the legal word and it's slipping my mind, but discourse, I mean, you know, disagreement.
Discord within the, within the workplace,
Is that too late then for me to go to the employer and say, CEO, Kuku's been lending money unlawfully, or this is actually what's happening? And then we need to substantiate the proof of the discourse in the workplace. Yeah. How would it work? And when is it too late or too early to report such activities?
It can be said that it is too late. For example, there was a memo published by the city of Johannesburg during the tenure of Dr. Mpopalatse, where they specifically wrote to all COJ staff and said, we are aware that you guys are financially overextended. We are aware that there are money lenders within the organization and that they are taking advantage of our employees.
Mm-hmm.
And they referred employees who may be financially extended to the employee wellness program for counseling and assistance.
Gotcha.
And they further then said, come and report to us who these people are so that we can then report them to the national credit regulator to take action against them.
Okay.
And that's when the employer is now taking steps to try and safeguard the interests of their employees and ensure that they're protected. They would then launch their own internal investigation.
Okay.
And if there's a link between that conduct and the employment relationship, they can take disciplinary action.
Got you. So important that we understand this, because these are some of the realities that do happen on the ground. But I'm so glad you've highlighted the important theme that we need to be mindful of. So your cordial relationship with your colleagues and peers within the workplace, where perhaps as a person, you might extend a loan to them. Once you breach the boundary of imposing interest, of and penalties as well for non-compliance or non-payment,
yes,
and even then attacking them or creating discourse in the workplace by intimidating them for non-payment, that is when it becomes a major problem, and you are breaking the law in terms of the National Credit Act and other FIs, financial services industry regulations that,
yes,
need to be taken into
correct.
Account. Perfect. That's important, because I can imagine we don't want to get old to say, well, it was just a favor or this and that. But that's the clarity that we do need. Kagiso, we've got a question that's come through from Musa on the WhatsApp line. Musa, thanks for reaching out. If you have a question as well, feel free to share them, or even you can share as part of your experiences and some insight that you have experienced. 0636880959. Here's our question from Musa.
Hello guys. Actually in a stock fell at work where we contribute a certain amount every month. However, in order for us to make extra cash, we end up borrowing the money to other people who would want it. So it's not limited only to people at work. It also includes other people externally. So I wanted to find out if we do lend this money to people at work and then we end up having a turf over them not paying us back, is it a disciplinary hearing, or are we automatically going to be fired?
Ooh, you might have touched on this one.
Yeah.
But as you've heard, lending money to people outside of the organization, some struggles in terms of payment in return, can one face a disciplinary action?
In the event that there's a specific workplace rule that prohibits the practice of money lending, then yes, you can be charged and disciplined and probably dismissed. Where the stock fell itself within the employees that they are lending money to, then same as with National Diversity Institute, starts in intimidating, threatening or harassing members, you can be charged or disciplined for that. But where there is a relationship that I've lent you money, you've paid me back, there really is no issue. The employer does not have a rule in place that says I cannot lend money to employees within the workplace. Then it will be difficult for the employer to try and charge an employee for running a business of money lending.
Mm.
Like they can report them to the National Credit Regulator for a breach of the regulations insofar as any lending is concerned. But then always when an employer can charge an employee for such a misconduct is, one, is there a rule in place that specifically prohibits the lending of money? Or what are the repercussions of me having lent money to Mudibedi or to Gugu? And are we now threatening? Are they taking time off? Are they now feeling intimidated? Are they not delivering? Because they are scared of me coming to collect money from them during working hours. They're now skipping meetings.
Yeah.
They're not coming to work. That then becomes an issue of misconduct. And you may not be charged for the lending of the money, but you may be charged for an intimidating behavior, regardless of the fact that they owe you money. You could have followed a civil route, gone to the small claims court, or followed whatever other route you could to try and recover the money.
Sure. And that's an important aspect that you mentioned. It's not about being dismissed because you lent them the money. It's the intimidation. It's the,
yes,
threats that you actually follow through with, which then cause a ruckus and frustration within the workplace.
Correct.
This is so critical. This is so important for us to bear in mind, especially as we start off the year. And I think even for employees might be easier for large corporates to manage, because they've got someone in human capital management or,
yeah,
people leadership, that's as they refer to it, who can take care of these nitty-gritties. But for medium-sized entities and entrepreneurs, you know, who are running businesses with different people, you know, how do we, as in other words, as business leaders and employers of individuals, make sure that we capacitate rules, regulations, and legal strength to put this policy in place?
I think it all boils down to, what risk do you think that your company or your business may be exposed to if you were to allow a particular practice to continue? And you would then seek to prevent that by putting in place a specific policy. And it doesn't need to be a very complex document. It could be a one page or two page or a memo that says the lending of money amongst colleagues within the workplace is prohibited, failing which you may be subjected to disciplinary action. Mm-hmm. And this all depends on what organization are you in, what are you trying to prevent, and what risk are you trying to mitigate within the organization, because it has the potential of creating very strange relationships. And we know that money is, I mean, even in relationships, money is very controversial. Hey. So we don't want to bring that into the workplace. I mean, that's one place where we need cordial, and we need to be just professional about how we go about our things.
Definitely. Kagiso, it's always so enlightening speaking to you, and I have a very refreshing perspective now. So next time you're buying Chao Maguinga from Osmonica or Boltong from KG, or I don't know, you know, soliciting someone's catering services over the weekend, as long as it doesn't impose on their work and day-to-day activity, yes, then that is still allowed. Lending money as a shock or something, if it's a personal favor with no expectation to pay back, or just an expectation that you pay back the principal amount, that's okay. But once interest, intimidation, and other provocative ways are used to actually coerce the person to pay you back, then that is also in contravention of the law. And then Stokvels, as you said, it's okay to group save, but make sure you guys actually have your own. I know that Stokvels also use is it a memorandum of understanding?
Constitution.
There you go. Yes. Okay, Kagiso, so we've got it.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Such a pleasure seeing you and speaking to you, sir. You've really helped educate us. So, yeah, I think a lot of us will be a lot more enlightened following this conversation tonight.
Thank you very much for the invitation. Great
time. My guest tonight was Kagiso Levete, who's joined us. He's a regular here on the show, employee relations specialist, helping us unpack some key themes that actually speak to the labor law regulations we need to be mindful of, and our conduct in the workplace. So, as you've heard, the dynamics are clear, the rules are in place. Just make sure that you understand that you are following through with them appropriately. Otherwise, you could find yourself in hot water.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.